Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You think about if he goes to Chicago, that makes Chicago, I believe, a Super Bowl contender.
Can you repeat that? You believe that Carson Wentz on the Bears makes the Bears a Super Bowl contender?
No.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on The Score.
That was Bart Scott on ESPN. I think a bad sports thought. Not as bad as Deshaun Watson's not better than Mitch Trubisky, but a bad sports thought. But I got to be honest, Speaks. When I saw the price tag, a 2021 third rounder and a 2022 second rounder that becomes a first if Carson Wentz plays 75% of the snaps or more for the Colts this year, I was surprised the Bears didn't beat that offer, floored by the report that they didn't even extend an offer, and ultimately came to the conclusion that the reports that Wentz didn't want to be a Bear must have stopped them from beating that price, because we know that Ryan Pace, I got the third pick, I want to draft a QB at two, mm-hmm. I'm going to trade more than enough to get it. I've zeroed in on David Montgomery, I'm going to trade more than enough to trade up to go get him. Like, when he sees his guy, he goes and gets him, so it makes me think that Carson Wentz said, I don't want to be a Bear, and so the Bears never wanted to make an offer better than the Colts, so they weren't inheriting a guy or acquiring a guy that just wasn't interested in being in Chicago.
This is why I continue to employ you as my rational thought provider. Because I think, expected the Bears to beat whatever the asking price was, or beat the Colts' offer, essentially. And in the end, if the offer was two twos and it turns into a three and a two that might become a one from the Colts, it didn't really change that much. And the Bears absolutely could have beaten it. And if they decided this was the guy and they really realized it was all going to happen, I think they would have done it. But if a guy who's a project doesn't want to be a part of the project with you, doesn't want you being the one that undertakes the project, it's not worth doing. I mean, to try and convince him in the first place, when you know that he only likes a certain kind of coaching, or you know that he needs a certain atmosphere. So to have that be a hurdle from acquisition moment one, even though it's not a no-trade clause, it does matter. We had that conversation over the last 5-6 days, whatever it is. Like, how much does it matter that he doesn't want to go there? And I think it ends up mattering, Danny, because the acquirer better feel good about the guy they're getting, regardless of the acquisition cost.
Yeah, but so it's just it is jarring, though, right? Because I get completely Carson Wentz wanting to go to the Colts over the Bears. Any quarterback would rather be the quarterback of the Colts over the Bears. They got a better coach. They got a better GM. They have a more winnable division. They're in a dome, better offensive line, better running game. Everything about playing quarterback suggests Indy's a better place than Chicago if you have your choice. But, man, so the quarterback who was the worst QB in the NFL last year just straight up not interested in coming here, and so then the Bears don't even feel comfortable making an offer on him? Well, now that leaves me thinking, well, then who can they get here? Because if Carson Wentz has the power to be like, I'm not really interested in Chicago, then basically anybody
would have, as long as more than one team was interested in acquiring him, right? You're going to be left with scraps. It's like Deuce Staley. And this is just it's a weird comp, but follow me here for a second.
I will follow you, sir. Let's go.
Listen, he's, you know, a Deuce former Staley. running back coach just gets hired by the kneecap eater
in Detroit.
In Detroit, Dan Campbell. But Matt Nagy wanted him. But Deuce Staley had options. And so, of course, he goes to the place that's more stable. And so Matt Nagy is left with, like, promoting guys from within and all that. Jay Rogers, his contract expires as the D-line coach here.
Yeah.
He ends up, okay, I could go with Brandon Staley, right? Or I could stay in Chicago, but there's no stability here. So basically, anybody who has more than one suitor, whether it's a running back coach, a defensive coordinator, or the worst quarterback in the NFL last year, as long as another team other than the Bears is trying to acquire you, they are choosing door number two. And so that makes me very afraid as to who they're going to be able to get. Because unless Dak Prescott is a free agent, and they don't have the money to sign him anyway, there aren't great free agents available. And so who are you trading for? Like, if say the Raiders acquired Deshaun Watson and Derek Carr became available.
Yeah.
Multiple teams will want to trade for Derek Carr. And Derek Carr would likely do the same thing that Carson Wentz did and choose another situation. So I don't think the Bears are going to end up with a better quarterback than Carson Wentz in 2021 if Carson Wentz can choose not to be in Chicago. It's going to be someone they draft or someone that doesn't have other options. And that's a terrifying thought for Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace and a Bears team with low expectations.
Yeah, it really is. It really is, because then you're left to sell yourself to free agents, which isn't like I've been talking about how the potential of Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't bother me. Like I could live with Ryan Fitzpatrick and a draft pick. Who's to say that he would even pick to come here? Why not stay in Miami where it's warm and cozy and the taxes are nice and you can back up Tua, but you actually might play because Tua might be a pumpkin, you know, or you might get a chance to get in, or he'll have options, you know? So what are you left with? Are you going to have to think about trying to woo Jameis Winston from the clutches of Sean Payton in New Orleans? You're going to have to think about settling for Tyrod Taylor while you also draft somebody? Are you just going to stand pat with Nick Foles and, you know, bundle all your assets together to move up and grab the quarterback that you want, even if it is Mac Jones at 12? You know, they might have no choice but to go down a path they're not interested in. That's entirely possible here.
Yeah, I honestly have no idea now who's going to be the quarterback. But it does make me think drafting a quarterback in the first round is more likely.
Mm.
And that's really scary, too. Now, I've said many times, to me it's the most exciting thing that your team can do. Like, if you take a big swing on a quarterback in the first round, because that's where most superstar quarterbacks come from. Of course, there are plenty of exceptions. We all know them. But it's the most exciting thing, because a great quarterback on a rookie contract who you can have on your team for cost certainty for 5 years is an amazing luxury in the NFL if you hit on them. But they don't have the fifth pick in the draft. They have the 20th pick in the draft. And so if you stand pat, you're getting the fifth or sixth quarterback. You're getting Kyle Trask or Mac Jones. Or you're trading up to try to get the third or fourth quarterback in the draft. Maybe Trey Lance or Justin Fields. And then, if it doesn't work, you're in the exact same situation you were with Mitch, in that you're firing Matt Nagy and you're firing Ryan Pace, and now a new brain trust is coming in and they're inheriting the previous regime's first round pick at quarterback.
It's almost like you shouldn't let a quarterback, or excuse me, a head coach and GM combo on a one-year prove-it situation make a choice to have your next quarterback in the long term. It's almost like that's a bad idea. And you wonder why people reacted the way they did to that Bears press conference. I want to add two things to this conversation. One is the tweets from Deshaun Watson's quarterback coach, not the guy employed by the Texans, but his personal friend and the personal guy he uses, Quincy Avery. You hip to Quincy Avery and his
of course.
Quarterback takeover is his company?
he was quoted in the original Dan Wiederer and Rich Campbell story about, like, we basically never heard from them, and he was like one of the first people who gave voice to, like, maybe it was a race thing, but honestly, like, we just have no idea. Like, we heard from him at the the pro day, and then never heard from them again. So yeah, Quincy Avery's been Deshaun's guy since college.
Here's what he tweeted today after the Wentz deal became public. Quote, what's the criteria for a quarterback asking to get traded and then actually getting traded? Asking for a friend. That's Quincy Avery.
Well, today. Do you want me to ask that or answer that, or do you think he's asking rhetorically? Because the answer is not be the second most valuable asset in the NFL who your franchise doesn't want to trade. Like Carson Wentz wanted to be traded, and you know why it worked out?
Because he sucked, and the Eagles were like, okay.
Yeah, the Eagles also wanted to trade him. You know why Matt Stafford was like, hey, you know, I think it's time for us to part ways. And the Lions were like, yeah, okay. Because they also wanted to trade him. The difference, the problem Deshaun is running into, and I assume Quincy Avery understands this, is the Texans don't want to trade him. They're dumb, they're dysfunctional, but they're not insane. Like, and trading Deshaun Watson would be insane.
Okay. And the other thing I wanted to ask is that we have a weird moment where some quarterbacks of intrigue might not get moved until after the draft. Or perhaps on draft day, when teams towards the top make their decisions. Are the Jets going to go with Justin Fields or Zach Wilson or somebody at number two? If so, then Sam Darnold becomes immediately more tradable, unless they make that decision early enough and do it soon. Would the Dolphins dare move on from Tua Tagovailoa because they have the rarity of a number three pick when you're a team that's 10-6? In a moment like this, and you're probably not going to be picking up there anytime again soon. If they do, then all of a sudden Tua might be available. So there's two guys right there.
Well, and I'll add in another one.
Gardner Minshew, after Trevor Lawrence gets picked. It's just another one I was thinking of.
That is not who I was going to mention.
Okay.
God, that would be terrifying.
Okay.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Sure. Sure. Carolina's at what, number eight right
I
now?
Seven or eight. I think seven. If they draft a quarterback and decide to shed that salary, maybe Teddy becomes available. I know Kyle Shanahan. All reports say he's very interested in upgrading from Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, I'm not saying that there's not going to be other quarterbacks that become on the market. I think there are every indication suggests that there is going to be. I'm just saying if a quarterback good enough to have options hits the market, it's very possible that they're going to try to force their way to a more stable situation than the Bears. And then if a quarterback who doesn't have multiple suitors hits the market, you're not going to want him on the Bears. And so that leads me to believe that you might go the route of drafting a guy because drafted guys don't have any say in where we go. I should mention, by the way, we're broadcasting live from the 670 The Score Hyundai Studios.
I am.
Brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Yes, you are in the palatial Hyundai Studios, and everyone reaching out today on the Score listener line is presented by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today and visit BetQL.com.
So, I just real quick, we referenced it earlier, and then Tanny did the digging. On the Carson Wentz thing, Danny, we've been talking about it like having John DeFilippo here is some sort of positive. And we don't know that that's the case. We've heard that he was the bad cop in the good cop, bad cop situation for Carson Wentz in 2017. Frank Reich was at least one of the good cops, and he was the offensive coordinator, and that's who Carson Wentz is reunited with in Indy. And John DeFilippo's had three different jobs since then, and none of them are head coaching jobs. He's here, and Carson Wentz might not like difficult coaching. And the closest guy we have to the situation is Boomer Esiason, who's very, very close with Frank Reich, and talked with us immediately after the Super Bowl about how Frank Reich felt. And we brought up John DeFilippo to Boomer.
Well, John DeFilippo is in Chicago, so he was the QB coach, and I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
Don't know, obviously, the importance of that relationship. But what does Carson Wentz need that the Bears don't have? Is it a strong counseling? Is it guidance? What is it?
All right, so, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles, because of injuries and because of some really poor drafts, had maybe one of the worst offensive teams in the league for at least 12 weeks. And Carson was trying to do everything on his own. And I think if you talk to any coach in the NFL, they'll tell you, and you watch the films, he deteriorated as the season went on. Like, you're talking about quarterback fundamentals. You're talking about being loose with the football, being careless, making really stupid decisions, getting beaten down by the Philadelphia press, which I'm sure the Chicago press will be more than happy to pick that steam up if things go haywire. I think things are always going to, no matter where you play, you're still going to feel the sting of the criticism via social media and, of course, on sports talk radio. So I just feel like if he reunites with Frank, it's a little bit easier for Frank to cover him and help him and talk to him and be honest with him. I know my last couple of years in Cincinnati were not great for me, and I was not under the same coaching staff that I was the previous 6 years. So reuniting with Bruce Coslett in New York, where I needed to be, you know, taught how to play my position again, believe it or not, worked out for me that first year in New York. And then, of course, they fired him the next year. But I think that's the way I see this. I think getting with somebody who you were really close with, somebody who really saw something special in you coming out of college, you know, and that's who Frank was for Carson. I think that's just a better fit. I just don't like him going to Chicago. I just, again, like I said, seems like a mixed bag of trying to figure this whole thing out. And I don't know, maybe John DeFilippo could do it. Who knows? But I think Frank was really, you know, one of the guys that was instrumental in finding out who Carson really was as a player.
I like the
right.
Yeah.
It's that tone right off the top. It's like, you know, John DeFilippo's here. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Not the same.
Not the same.
And again, I think it's more about being pro Indy than anti Chicago. But my point is, when you bring back Pace and Egan, Peoria Matt texts in and says, are we sure they're on the hot seat? I do believe that they are. They caught so much heat at the end of the year. They messed up the Mitch pick, and they haven't extended the contracts, at least that we know of publicly. And the Bears are not the Steelers.
John DeFilippo is in Chicago, so that's he was the QB coach, and I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
The Bears fire GMs, they fire coaches. I think these guys can get fired too if this year ends up being a dumpster fire. Everyone has to judge who won the interview between you and me versus Kyle Hendricks. We both love talking to this guy. Cubs pitchers and catchers have reported he was incredible as always. So if you missed it, Kyle Hendricks, who now finds himself as the ace of the Cubs. Next, Parkins and Spiegel on the Score.
Parkins and Spiegel Show Flashback.
I'm really looking forward to watching Zach Davies.
You guys can call me crazy, but I'm excited about Tyler Palko tonight.
You know, not true. Not a comp.
Not a comp.
Tyler Palko and Zach Davies.
Well,
Zach Davies is far more accomplished in his line of work than Tyler Palko ever
at
was.
What?
Pitching change.
Okay. Well,
okay.
You also hit us yesterday when you were selling us on the Cubs over 77 and a half wins. You came back in the next segment and were like, I forgot Trevor Williams. So maybe the Trevor Williams Tyler Palko comp is more apt.
Hey, but Trevor Williams, 31 starts 2 years ago with the Pirates and an ERA of 3.11. Okay?
3 years ago.
Yeah, 3 years ago. Whatever.
3 years ago.
Zach Davies, 123 career starts. ERA under four.
Is Trevor Williams the one that had the ball cancer?
I don't. That's Lance Armstrong.
I don't think so.
And he can sleep at night.
Jameson Taillon. Jameson Taillon's a pirate with the ball cancer.
Is he?
You're right on it.
Okay.
You're right on it.
I mix up my ball cancers all the time, so understandable.
Shane, do we have any questions to answer today?
Yeah, we do have a few. Audio ID kid, Doug in Evergreen Park, with the Iron Man streak potentially hitting 10 days tomorrow, what's been your favorite memory so far about season 2 of Parkins and Spiegel / Spiegel and Parkins?
We're looking back. I would say the friends we've made along the way is what I would say.
I like Flula Bork. That was really fun today. I hope people check out the 3 o'clock hour on the podcast. I don't think that's recency bias. I really was entertained by him and the chat because like he had prepared bits, but they were quick and short.
So good, Yeah.
Don't just resort to the podcast. We'll tweet out the full video link. Watch the video, because watching him say the things is just as entertaining as listening.
Agreed.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was wondering. So I saw the 2-minute little teaser video.
The full's out as well on the website.
It is? Okay. Tweet that out, obviously, after the show. Yeah. I haven't seen it yet.
Come for the video, stay for the Holocaust content. Am I right?
It's a good point. It took a weird turn after 15 minutes of joy. So that was the thing that happened.
Just being real. Just being honest.
Along those same lines on Twitch from MPAT75, what non-sports guest would each of you put at the top of your list to have on the show?
Jon Stewart. Sacha Baron Cohen. David Simon, Barack Obama.
That's a pretty good list. Pretty good list.
I've thought about it before.
I'll say Flew LeBorg, Michael Bonfilio, Kyle Hendricks.
Is Michael Bonfilio different from Michael Bonfiglio?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Also, the fiance of Patrice O'Neal.
Yes. And not Yvonne DiCarlo, who played... Herman Munster's wife, but Von DiCarlo. Very different.
And someone to tell Con Air stories. I'm mildly obsessed with the good, bad, fun, bad movie that is Con Air. I really would love to do 15 minutes on Con Air.
Buscemi would be one of ones.
Buscemi would be very high up on the list, but I couldn't just do Con Air with Buscemi, would be the thing. So, like, we would need Buscemi for maybe like a two-parter.
You know, Malkovich. I'd love to talk to John Malkovich. Huge NBA guy, but Chicago Steppenwolf theater royalty.
Wasn't he shot in the back of the head?
In a movie with Clint Eastwood? Maybe?
I guess it's my bad.
Malkovich would be ridiculous. I've never heard him do a long-form interview.
Very, very rare. Very rare.
Yeah, I'd be a tough one.
I'll go Dave Chappelle and Seinfeld. I'll put those guys on.
Those would be great. Larry David. Hmm. Can you get that, Shane? Can you get any of that done?
Yeah, I'll just send an email. That's how it works. Again, great. Not very hard.
Great. Well, those are our asks. That would be incredible. Any other questions? No?
Yes, no, we'll save maybe some for tomorrow.
Okay. What are you cooking tonight, Shane?
Oh, funny that you ask. I'm back on the horse. Last night I did a chicken meatball over a homemade red sauce. It was phenomenal. Much easier to make chicken meatballs on your own. Tonight I'm taking a round steak. I'm going to pound that out, layer it with some cream cheese and jalapeno, roll it up, cut it into pinwheels, and sear that off. Whew. Very excited.
Wow. All right. He's back. He's
I'm
off
back,
his,
baby.
He's off his cooking slump.
He was snacking on raw broccoli during the show.
Raw broccoli.
He asked me if I wanted some. That was a no. It's a quick no.
Trying to get the fiber back, you know, improve regularity.
Redirect. Never more timely a request to rap, in my
opinion. Thanks for sharing.
Hey, we're transparent here on your show, right?
That's true. Our show.
I can't wait to talk about my experience with Colin Cowherd tomorrow. I am transparent.
I was about to curse on the air. I was literally about to say, what a Richard. That was the first thing that came into my mind. And I bit my tongue.
I mean, that was, even by my standards.
Hey, I got people coming on the air here saying I need therapy and saying that I'm a bad guy. I got to start throwing punches every once in a while.
You validated all of it, yeah.
Wait, what do you mean I validated it?
No, Shane validated it.
Shane did.
Oh, okay.
Not a bad guy.
What a narcissist you are, Danny.
It's Shane, if you go over to the CVS, I think it's aisle 6, skin thickener. You pick it up there and you just slather it right on the forearms.
My skin's plenty thick. I waited until 5:54 to start throwing my punches. Even though misdirected.
From something that happened yesterday in transition.
Sling arrows as we go into our night.
One of those fresh memories from 28 hours ago.
This show has the worst vibes while falsely advertising the good vibes. Oh, yeah.
You know,
we play defense against each other.
Come
we're
into
on
studio.
The same team
come,
until we're not.
Come into studio, big dog. I enjoyed it here very much today.
Good vibes, babe. Disclaimer, vibes may not be good.
Yeah, exactly.
Put that on the bottom of the T-shirt in very small type. Disclaimer.
Thank you to Kyle Hendricks. He was lovely. Thank you to Flew LeBorg. He was fantastic. Thank you to Michael Bonfiglio and Von DiCarlo for talking about the Patrice O'Neal documentary. There is no thanks given to Shane Reardon. Thank you to Connor, who runs our Twitch chat and Twitch
stream.
No
Thanksgiving? I can't even have Thanksgiving anymore.
You know, we need to catalog Danny's syntax mistakes, like his hustling syntax mistakes.
Given. No thanks are given.
Like a really relaxed Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving.
None. None.
I hate all of
Beat a rep.
Chris Tannehill makes it sound better than we are each and every day. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. Bears All Access is coming up next. We are Parkins and Spiegel on the score.
Well, I mean, I didn't enjoy going through this. You know, I think we had some really bad segments, a lot of ups and downs. We didn't finish. And I give our guys credit. They responded. We just lost our way. And then it was good to see our guys compete.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.